welcome back to the Plant Powered Podcast. I've got a lot of exciting things on the go at the moment. Finally settled into the house. I started my new job over the last 2 days at a health club, which is super exciting. And today, I am freaking out. I'm going to be in a plant-based documentary. How crazy is that? So I've been so busy with everything, busy with the retreat, the work, planning all the next. I've got some really, really exciting podcast interviews coming up. So just putting that all onto paper, planning it all out, booking in the interviews, very, very exciting stuff. So make sure you stay tuned for that. I'm so excited to finally get back into a routine and back into my ideal life, if that makes sense. So I hope you liked my first episode back last time after my little break. And today I've got some very exciting topics. I just thought, so the documentary is going to be filmed kind of soon. The guy's on the way, he's nearly here, but I've got so much on that. I just thought I'd start filming now, and then when he comes, I'll go and do that for a few hours and then finish off in the afternoon and then carry on the rest of the day. So just trying to squeeze it into everything I've got on. Today will be very exciting. I wanted to talk about turning your diet into a lifestyle, overcoming other people's opinions, different mindset shifts to help elevate your life, conforming to beauty standards, and last of all, gym anxiety. So a little bit on the cards. It's just a few things I've had on my mind lately, so I hope you enjoy. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, and if you're listening on the podcast, I'd love if you gave a review as well in the Apple Podcasts. So number one, turning diet into a lifestyle. This is, well, one of the questions in the interview for the documentary actually is like, how would you describe a healthy relationship with food and a healthy diet? So to me, it's something that you can do forever. Like, I can do this diet forever, eat plant-based, and it's not something you've got to start and stop again. It's not falling on and off the yo-yo. It's very balanced. It's being able to go out and enjoy food at restaurants and social situations if your friends are cooking dinner. Like, we've got a weekly tribe night, and I'm not freaking out like, oh my god, this is different to my usual food. If someone else cooks, it's like, oh cool, what food can I try this week that's a little bit different? Even though we had crepes one night, it's like, cool, let's have crepes. It's like, you don't have to feel restricted by anything. So I had a little bit of a break from the gym because I was feeling very, very fatigued and low in energy. And then I had my best friend staying from New Zealand. Then I had my sister staying from New Zealand. And then I was doing some walking around the city and stuff, but I was like, oh, I just don't want to go to the gym today. Then I got my time of month, so I was really tired and sore and bloated. And then I was finally ready to go back to the gym, hopped in the car, and then it blew up in smoke. So that took another week, some pretty expensive repairs. But it's like the whole week when I couldn't go, all I wanted was to go to the gym and lift some weights. But when I have access at any time, it's like, oh no, I'm a bit tired today. So it's funny how our diet works out like that as well. If you're restricting yourself from things and think you can't have it, it's all you want and all you're thinking about. So it's about feeling like you have access to anything at any time. That's how I'm going to describe it in the documentary. Like, I eat chocolate any day I like, most days of the week. I drink wine several nights a week. Oh, just like a glass if I'm cooking or something, not like actual drinking. But if I'm just cooking on like a Tuesday night, I'm like, you know what? I feel like a wine, then I'll have one, and I'm not freaking out that it's more calories or anything, or that it's going to slow my progress, because I like wine. So I like to enjoy the taste of it. So went on this little thing and then was finally ready to get back into my routine. And my first day back, like with all this exercise, I actually walked from my house from the country into the town, and then went to the gym and walked all the way back with the dog as well. And I had blisters on my feet from all that walking. And then the lady I live with, she was like, hey, do you want to have a pizza night? And even though it was my first day back on routine, I'm like, well, of course I want to have a pizza night because I love pizza. So it's just about finding balance. Like, for lunch that day, I had a big butter bowl with salad, and at nighttime I had pizza. So I'm like, that's absolutely fine. I've done so much exercise, I deserve it. So it's about not fearing foods and just finding balance so that you can do this forever. I think I mentioned this in the last video I made as well, but also I've noticed a lot with allowing myself to rest and fully just be. So when I've been getting my time of month, because I used to just dread it and I'd go to hospital from the pain and it's like absolutely debilitating and I'd be like crying and almost screaming on the bed. So, and then feel guilty for not being productive. So the last two times I've had it since living at this house, I've just allowed myself to be. She heated up some hot stones that she uses for a massage and like wrapped it in this towel and put it on me like a belt to put on my back and my lower hips. And I've never seen anyone do that before. So just taking the time to rest and just lay in bed for a bit, honestly have a nap in the afternoon. I ate as much chocolate as I wanted to. And with all the rest and the extra sleep, some nights I was sleeping like 10 hours a night for like 4 days. I was just completely out of it. I actually got leaner and like lost more body fat, like looked more ripped in the mirror from not exercising and from eating more like chocolate and stuff. Everyone's really over exercising and everyone freaks out about getting in all this movement and stuff, which is very, very important. But honestly, rest and recovery is so underrated and I don't think people do it enough. I probably only go to the gym to do weights about 4 times a week, striving for 5, but 4 days is a good balance for me. And then just walking the dog almost an hour every second day. And that's all I have to do. And I feel like I get more results in that time than someone who's going like 6 or 7 days a week, plus the cardio every single day, plus all the stress, lack of sleep, restricting food. It's just far more balanced. And I just realized after all that, I forgot to connect the microphone again. So I always do this. I'm like, okay, quick, let's do the video. Try not stress. Just like get into it so I'm not like worried about what I sound like or anything. And then I'm like, oh my God, we're always having like microphone issues. So hopefully that sounds a little bit better. So the next point I wanted to cover was overcoming people's opinions. So I've been told quite a lot in the last few months, quite a lot of bad stuff. I showed in my last video and podcast as well, I had someone write in my diary like piece of shit, and then I started to believe it. I've had people say that if I move to Gold Coast within the next 2 months, I'm gonna fail and have to go back to New Zealand. So while I was trying to settle in here, all I could think was like, oh my God, are they right? Am I just a failure? I'm not going to be able to hold this up. I'd been looking for a job for a whole entire month and had no income and no savings. As I said last time as well, I drove here with just enough gas in the car to get to Gold Coast, no savings, no job. So I was like, oh my God, are they right? How can I make this work? And it's very, very stressful. And you just wonder if what they think about you is the truth. And you forget that you have like this burning fire inside of you to make something happen and to prove people wrong. I was also told a whole bunch of other stuff. I wrote it in my diary a little while ago. Okay, I found the diary. I'd forgotten all the points, but this had been playing over on my mind for ages. So I had someone say to me, do you even know the difference between social media and real life? So I've got a whole podcast planned with like how to use social media in a positive way. And honestly, it's social media is just marketing channels, but honestly, it's also a way to connect with people. And I've made lots of friends on there. For me, it's a source of creativity. If I think of an idea or a health tip or a realization that I've had or a perspective shift that I think can help someone, I like to put it into content or make a little graphic thing or, I don't know, write the captions. I just really like writing and I used to do blogging before I did all this stuff. So for someone to say like, do you even know the difference between social media and real life? It makes me feel like I'm just a fake girl with like an unattainable life. And they said that my head is in the clouds and I need to come back down to earth. But to me, I like to have my head in the clouds because I like to aim really high and I like to block out all the noise and not worry about societal norms or what's like practically possible as such, which can kind of be a downfall. But I just like to be like, hey, well, I want to do this, so why not? No matter how crazy or how much further I'm going to have to grow to get to that point. So the other person's opinion, like, although it brings you down and you start to believe it, like, am I just a fake social media girl who's like, I don't know. It was just really weird to think about myself like that when I know my values and what I'm trying to achieve by doing all this. And then a couple of the other things I got told were like, if you started, like, I got kicked out of home when I was 16, so I'd started, like, living on my own since then. I moved in with my nana for a year. I started my university degree at age 17, which was 3 hours from where I grew up, which is quite a big drive in New Zealand because it's such a small place. And I think I had 2 jobs while I was still at school, and then the week school finished, I started up a third job. So I was working at like a takeaway burger store, I was working at a cafe, and then working at a supermarket all at like age 16, which is really good. But then someone said to me, if you've been working since you were 16, then like, why aren't you successful yet? And why aren't you where you planned on being in life? And that's like a very deep, quite offensive question. I've started 4 businesses by age 24. And I'm the kind of person who is hard on myself. So when that's playing in my mind, like, oh my God, I'm striving for this thing. And I'm so hard on myself in day-to-day life that I stress myself out. I find it hard to relax. I find it hard to socialize because I should be working, and I'm just so focused on achieving this very, very high goal. And starting a business is hard. You don't make profit for sometimes the first few years, and I've started several of them. Growing your audience, learning how to do marketing, learning how to do accounting, defining your brand, putting yourself out there, just like actually being good at what you do. I've done so much when I look back on it, and I think I'm doing bad because I'm just, yeah, that's just how I view myself. But to look back on my life and know I'm striving for this goal, and then to have someone say, why aren't you successful yet? That's really mean. I'm like, that played on my mind for ages. And then they said, like, I was planning out the rest of the year. So this is what I want to achieve by this year. I want to move to Gold Coast in Australia. Maybe plan a trip back home if possible once all the borders are open and travel is okay. I want to compete in WBFF, pay off all my debt and get a job. And I was planning to move to Sunny Coast, but Gold Coast, Brisbane, Sunny Coast, get a job that's 20 to 30 hours a week, continue on with my business. Those are like quite big goals, but all in different areas of my life. Like, competing is one thing which keeps me on track with my health and fitness, like seeing my family, paying my debt, so getting a good job and doing well in my business. All of those things like interlink because they're all in different areas of my life. And I got told that, yeah, my goals are too big, and they said you need to plan your life based on how you're doing right now. So I was at rock bottom with barely any income. Like, my income like just covered rent, like no food, no gas. Sometimes I've got to put money from my jobs into my business to pay for all the email software, all the accounting software, music, like royalty free music, all the stuff that I'm trying to do, paying for more advertising, printing off more business cards, all the stuff like getting coaching. Sometimes I've got to get money from my paycheck from my job to put into the business, because it comes in waves. Sometimes you've got, like, I've got the most clients that I've ever had right at this moment, but then sometimes in a couple months' time, it'll be dead. So that's when you're doing, like, all the business planning and thinking about what's going to be moving the needle forward and everything else. So it comes in waves. But to think, like, oh, if I'm at rock bottom right now where my whole life's turned to shit, I've been through a breakup, I'm living in a place I don't want to be, all my family's in another country, I'm depressed, I've got no self-worth, like no money coming in, why would I plan my goals based on that? Like, oh, I can pay off this much debt by the end of the year based on how I am right now. To me, that doesn't make sense, because if I'm struggling to buy, to stay afloat, let's just say that, just struggling to survive, and that's like the biggest stress in your life, why would I plan my goals based on struggling to survive? Wouldn't I plan them on being like, okay, if I reach this next level, if I get a job with this many hours, if I get this many clients in my business or sell this many ebooks or online courses or whatever, then I can get to here. Like, 2 different ways of thinking, which is totally fine, but I just like to strive very high and always think about growth and improvement. So not as practical, but definitely helps you get to where you need to be in life. So that thing, shoot for the moon and you'll land against the stars. I just like to strive very high. But the whole point of all that was that I let this girl's opinion get to me, and then I started to doubt myself so bad. And I moved to Gold Coast, moved to my dream location. It was all on a roll. And I think I held myself back from getting a job because of how I viewed myself. Oh my God, what if I fail? Oh my God, what if she was right? Why aren't I successful yet? Do people think I am this fake social media girl? And that's really not how I view myself, but I really let other people's opinions get to me. And also being told, like, I can't do anything on my own. I always need help. And yeah, I did need help because it's been very challenging over the last few years going through the pandemic in a country away from home. Yeah, so when it comes to other people's opinions, think about where are they in comparison to your life? Are they, no, like, anyone who's doing better than you isn't going to look down on you. They know that there's enough success to go around, unless they're like really freaking out, but a very rare occasion. So anyone who is above you is usually trying to help you up because they've reached success. They know what it feels like. And they're like, come in and join me on this journey because there's enough to go around for everyone. Not trying to pull you down because maybe you threaten them, maybe they feel self-conscious because they haven't taken the same leaps in their life and they're too scared to pursue their passions and dreams. So really think about who you take advice from, how are they doing in life, and is it actually like constructive criticism? Like, I took away some things from all those conversations, like making a goal and practical steps, like how am I going to achieve it instead of it just being a dream. Like, take away practical points and listen to what they're saying, but don't let it become your reality if it's not. And one thing I've always liked to do is every time like I have a falling out with someone or someone criticizes me or tries to bring me down, like people have actually ruined my whole self-worth, like really, really bad. I got bullied a lot at school, like my whole upbringing and childhood. I barely had friends. I got bullied really bad. So I just channel that into my success and use that as my driving power. And even someone I had big falling out with in 2020, that was like related to the food truck I had and stuff, and just felt like, oh, it was just a very, very bad time that I went through with all of those people. I would think about them when I'm at the gym, when I'm lifting weights, and I'll get angry. I'll go to the gym, put on that really intense dubstep, and then I'll just think about how angry I was at them, and it's making me fitter, it's making me stronger, it's making my muscles grow bigger because I'm releasing my emotions based on that person. And if someone says that I can't do anything, or like, oh, that sounds a little bit unrealistic, it makes me want to do it more. So channel those negative viewpoints and people trying to pull you down and just show them that you can do it. The next point I wanted to talk about was mindset shifts. So recently my car blew up in smoke, and obviously it's been very hard. I just made it to Gold Coast, been trying to get a job, had my friend and sister saying, which is lovely to spend the social one-on-one time with them, but then my car broke and I still didn't have a job, and it was like actually expensive to fix. But I was having such a good week that things were just starting to go right, and I just had this was before my job interview, but things were just starting to go right and I had a few mindset shifts. So the time before I drove, I was actually taking my sister to the airport in Brisbane, which is 1.5 hours from where I lived. We were kind of in a rush because she had to get the RAT test and everything before flying, and I wanted to take her on this big it's like a Ferris wheel ride that looks over the Brisbane River. So we're kind of in a rush, and then just made it to the airport and just got back safe. And then my car blew up in my driveway. So even though it was very expensive to fix and I can't really afford that right now, I was like, well, at least I didn't get stranded anywhere because I don't have RACQ right now. At least I wasn't hours away from home with no one to help me. At least it was just in my driveway and I can call a tow truck and I can book it in. And at least I don't have a job, so I'm not stranded from my work and missing out on money anyway. Like, at least I'm just working from home that week. So I experienced some shifts in not turning it into a catastrophe. Like, before I left New Zealand, I would like call my boyfriend in the middle of the day and be like, oh my God, I just got a $40 parking ticket because I ran in to get like a takeaway lunch, which was like 2 or 5 minutes, and I got a $40 parking ticket when I was really struggling in Auckland, and I would like call him up to tell him during the day, and it's like everything was a catastrophe. So I feel like I've come a long way in that sense, and I'm like, at least my car, I'm at home, I'm working from home, it's in the driveway, and it's okay, like I'm getting it sorted. So that was a big mindset shift I had, was thinking of the positives and thinking about what I'm grateful for in that situation as to what is so terrible. Then when I walked all the way from my house to the gym in the town, it was like I got blisters on my feet. It's probably 1.5 hours of walking in total with the dog on like a not so safe road in some areas, but I made it there safe and back and was very alert and aware on the road. Then including a 1 hour gym workout because I really wanted to lift some weights and just like get this release. So instead of being like, oh my God, my car's broken, I can't even go to the gym, blah, 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 I'm like, okay, well, what else can I focus on? That big walk was really good exercise. It was good for the dog to get out for such a big walk as well. And then the next day, I was feeling stuffy from being on my computer all day. I really wanted to go to the gym. So I went out into the garden and did some weeding. So at least I made some progress on the property. And that was still good, like core workout. I just chucked in a podcast, did that out there in the sun, got some vitamin D. So instead of like thinking about all the stuff that's wrong and everything you can't have, I'm like, okay, what can I do instead for exercise to make me feel good? What areas can I progress in other areas? Like, is there something else in my business that's like been on my to-do list for ages that I can get done because I'm not at the gym? Can I just embrace this extra rest even though I'm feeling ready to go back? And just honor my body and be like, it's okay, you can go in a few days and just do other things for a few days, it's fine. And what I noticed was that the biggest ideas came to me when I was the least busy. So that week when I was working from home, I had no car, all the stuff had gone wrong as well. But I had this time to reflect on things, and it's actually when I had the most clarity. I'm wanting to start an app this year, and I had the most clarity around like what the name could be, what it could be about. Do I actually want to pursue that as an idea for the year? And clarity around other things I wanted to do. I felt finally ready for the first time in ages. I'm finally ready to compete again. I'm ready to like start taking my training seriously. I'm ready to find a pose. Great, so I just finished the documentary, which is super, super exciting. I was so nervous. So it's should be going live in about 2 months. They've just got a few more interviews to do. So I feel very, very grateful that I can represent like plant-based athletes and plant-based nutritionists to talk about like the benefits and just answer all these different questions that people in the public may have, or assumptions or things that are holding people back from giving it a go. So that is so exciting. So I'm back to film the second part of the video. So I was just chatting about when you've got space in your brain, that's actually when you can have the most clarity for your biggest ideas and actually come up with the best things in your life, when you're not so bogged down with the day-to-day stuff like, oh, I've got to do the washing and do the dishes and clean such and such, and I need to finish off this task in my job and think about these things for the kids or whatever. So when you actually have space for your brain to think about other things, that's when you can come up with your best ideas to move the needle forward in your life. So going on a nature walk, I think of a lot of my best ideas when I'm driving in the car. So don't forget to take some time out every now and again to do that kind of thing as well. Next, I wanted to talk about some limiting beliefs, because I've been listening to lots of podcasts and been doing lots of inner work. I've got a woman's confidence coach at the moment, which she's kind of crossing over into like my therapist right now, but it's actually really, really helping me through these times, which is awesome. But I discovered some limiting beliefs with stuff that stemmed from my childhood and stuff that I kind of want to break the cycle in. So there's a couple of points to cover when it comes to mindset shifts and limiting beliefs and also energetic minimums, which I've learned about just listening to podcasts from the people I look up to in business and everything like that. So it's kind of been making me realize a lot, because I do online nutrition programs where I coach people through their health and give meal guides and talk about all these different topics like digestion and bloating and food freedom and all of that kind of stuff. And probably over the last year and a half or even 2 years, every time I launch a nutrition program, I've had the exact same amount of clients every time. So even if I say, oh, this is my goal, so I need to get this many signups, but I say subconsciously in my head, like, oh, well, I got this much last time, so that's the minimum kind of thing. I'm attracting the minimum, even though it's like not what I'm striving for. So it's like quite interesting to take charge of your subconscious mind in that way. And I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and they were talking about weight, and they said they would like to get to such and such goal weight, but they've been stuck at this other number for ages. But in their mind, because they're like, oh, it's probably going to be such and such, every time they hop on the scale, it's the same, and they've lost weight up until that point, and it's just plateaued kind of thing. So it's really about becoming aware of like your subconscious thoughts and not bringing into light what you're trying to avoid. So reframing the words and reframing the way that you're approaching it. And good news, I finally got a job after living in Gold Coast for a month. So it's at a health club and I'm super excited. But I got it during this week where I was just at home and I had more downtime, and then good things just started happening. And I started feeling really, really good within myself. And then I finally get this call. So I'd accepted another job that was going to be an $8 pay cut per hour. $8? Yeah, $8 pay cut per hour from my last job. And it wasn't something that was interesting to me or that I wanted to do, but I was just going to use it as a stepping stone. But because it wasn't the dream job, I'd kind of been dreading it, even though it hadn't even started yet. Every single day it was playing in the back of my mind. So finally I got this call. Hey, I'm just calling from such and such. We got your job application today. It had been up a month. There was 150 applicants. And he just said, you're the one. And he said, you're the only one that stood out of everyone this whole entire month. And we had a chat, like an interview that just felt like we'd been friends for ages, even though I didn't even know who he was. And I went into the job, just had my second day, and it's going really, really well, and I'm really looking forward to it. But it's just happened like at the end of that week when everything was going right, my mindset's in the right place, I'm attracting the right things. And also that week, that's when I got asked about the documentary as well. So what an amazing experience to be able to represent plant-based nutrition and give that message out to the world. It's like an athlete, bodybuilder, nutritionist. That's so amazing. Topic 4 for this episode is conforming to beauty standards. So I've just been having a few chats with my friends and stuff, and we've just been talking, like, this isn't meant to offend anyone. This is just to spark some thought as to why people are doing the things that they are. So I just moved to Gold Coast, and a lot of people here have had a lot of work done. That was one of the things I was kind of, that was kind of holding me back. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to look out of place because I haven't had all these things done, like all these different procedures, or I don't fit the part, if that makes sense. And it just got me thinking, like, why are people doing it? Because I think they're trying to do it for the male gaze, but that's not necessarily what males want or what all of them want. Maybe that's what the guys here want, I'm not sure. But I've just been thinking, and I've picked up on it as well as a few of my friends, is that everyone's starting to look the same. And that's not meant to be in an offensive way at all. But we're so caught up in trying to fit in, and everyone's getting the same fillers and procedures. And it's not to say I'm not going to get like touch-ups in the future. Like, I've never done it, but it's not to say that I never will. Like, I'm open to it once I feel the need to, maybe. And no hate on anyone who gets their boobs done or anything. It's all about what makes you happy. But that's the question. Is it like, is it for you? And is it something that you want to wake up every day and see in the mirror and feel really happy within yourself? I'm not sure why people aren't feeling happy with how they currently are. Maybe it's due to social media. But before going and getting all these things, I just want people to realize that we are all so unique, and it's normal to have different looking faces, different looking outfits, different looking bodies, and we don't all have to fit the same criteria to be classed as attractive or fit the same body type, because we're human. So there's absolutely no harm in going out and doing those things. But the thing at the end of the day is just make sure you're doing it for you and remember to embrace your individuality as well. And the final topic today, finally coming to at the end, I hope you enjoyed the episode so far. So the next one is gym anxiety. So I just got a job at a health club and I found that they have very good values around just getting people to the gym. And that made me feel very happy. And that's also a thing like with people in our generation, we don't want to just like work for a company. We want to work for someone who has good values and stuff. And just the way that the owner was talking. So I'm in reception and they keep the door open at all times. So like you don't have to swipe your card to get in or you don't have to call up or whatever. Because you know how some of them, like the reception's upstairs, so the door's actually like closed or locked. So if you're going to sign up to a gym, which is like a big deal for some people, he said like people go up and they'll be like, oh, the door's locked, I don't know how to get in. And it just like deters them before they even get in the door or even get to sign up. So just like being welcoming to everyone and sitting down with them and talking to them about things and just making them feel really comfortable. And even with the way you're dressed and your body language and everything, it's not like a hard sell professional thing that's like quite intimidating for people. They just want to be like understood and feel comfortable. And I feel like I'm intermediate at the gym. Like obviously I do bodybuilding. I only have like started following a proper program as of recent and actually started working on my physique in a very focused way. Before that, I'll just like make up my own workouts and didn't really know what I was doing, didn't have the right form with things. So I'd say I'm intermediate, but even with my physique, I still feel like I get gym anxiety, especially going to a new gym. You don't might not know how to like adjust the height of certain equipments or how to use certain equipment or different exercise swaps for things that are on your program, but they might not have the right machines. Or also when you're going through your workout and someone's on the machine that you're meant to be doing next, so you're trying to switch around exercises to see what to do kind of thing. So all of those things can be very intimidating and I 100% get it. So some things I recommend are just going in with a plan. Don't be afraid to ask the staff for help. Like honestly, if you're figuring out, like I've asked just to about how to adjust the height of a machine before because I didn't know how to use it or how I couldn't get the handle out. Or for the hack squat, I was too short to even like get it off the hook, so I had to ask for help. Until now I know how to do it like with my height anyway. And I find tracking your progress with your strength really helps stay on track with a goal, like just writing down what you're lifting each time and having different workouts on different days and a goal that you're working towards. Blasting whatever music makes you feel amped up. And the last one is just like shifting your mindset to think that people are probably thinking something positive when they look at you. So I feel like recently I felt really nervous when people are looking at me and I felt like my arms have been so pumped up and like I'm looking quite fit and I'm nervous because people were like staring at me at the gym. So I just put on my music and I like look down. I don't look at anyone or talk to anyone. But people like, yeah, when I look at people, I don't know, sometimes I look at other girls, right, and they're probably thinking, oh my god, what a bitch, she's just giving me the eye. But I'm looking at them and I'm like, oh my god, her hair is so pretty. Or I'm just like looking at a certain move, like there was this guy doing this really crazy move like with his glutes in the gym and I'm like, damn, that's so interesting, like I wonder what kind of exercise is that. And people aren't necessarily being like, oh, what a weirdo, like usually it's in a good way that they're looking at you. So try to shift your mindset to think of it as a positive, not negative. There's one guy that comes into this gym, I just found out on my second shift, and he puts on screamo like in the actual gym to like play on the speakers. And then he went into this boxing room and he was going hard at the boxing bag, like letting out all his anger. And I started cracking up. And it's not like in a bad way, like, oh, what a weirdo, why is he doing that? I'm like, that is so funny that he just loves screamo and he's not afraid to go in there and put it on, build up all of his emotions and just like let it out on the boxing bag for like the most intense session that I've ever seen. Like, when people look at you, try to think about what they might be complimenting or what they might be wondering about. Like, oh, what kind of exercise is that? Oh, I wonder what muscle groups that's hitting. Oh, I love her outfit or something. So try to shift your mindset to think of it like that instead of something bad, and it takes away a little bit of the fear and everything like that. So that's everything for today. I'll wrap everything up now. Don't forget, I've got some amazing interviews that I have got lined up. I've got all the topics planned out. I just have to put in the dates and start filming and recording. So stay tuned for that. Don't forget to subscribe. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you had a blast, and I'll see you next week.